masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We're live at Uncle Julio's in Fort Worth, 5301 Camp Bowie. We say this every week. I want to tell you again. Your navigator might be like, well, that's not open for an hour. The hell it's not. It is open now. Come and see us for the Friday football feast. And Corey, I told Alec we might just change the run sheet around. And you know what? Let's just do it to start things off.
Okay.
It felt like a tale of two halves, and the positives and negatives were wildly different in the first half versus the second half. But here's where I'm at today.
It actually felt like Jerry Jones scripted this thing like he did The Gambler.
Sure.
And he was just like, I know drama. Let's get in the spit in action. Let's get a rain delay. Jerry made this all happen because you know you can make rain happen.
Yes.
So that's a thing, too.
See, I agree with you because much like episode 8 of The Gambler was stupid and useless, the end of this game was stupid and useless
yeah,
last
sure.
night. And I have a lot of complex thoughts, like I'm sure a lot of Cowboys fans are this morning. I get why everyone's talking about a moral victory. I just thought if we had a moral victory, it'd be like, hey, man, they didn't let the Eagles get away from them. They fought all night. They kept it close and, like, good for us. But instead, you had a chance to legitimately win that game. And that's why I'm kind of going back and forth with the concept of a moral victory is I get everybody who takes a moral victory out of it, but I'm also still upset because it hasn't even been 12 hours since you lost the game that you definitely had the chance to win.
Yeah, you absolutely had opportunities. I say it started with the fumble. That's whenever you lost the game. Yeah, when Miles Sanders. Now you can obviously CeeDee Lamb has to catch those.
Yes.
And there's no doubt in my mind. I think there are a handful of number one receivers in the league, and CeeDee Lamb's still one of them. And I don't think he has more than two drops for the rest of the season. He's that kind of guy. Whenever something like this happens, he turns into it. And, dude, don't forget the way he had 100 yards before the rain delay. He was the dude at the first half of that game.
Yeah.
He was, every catch, I was like, man, this guy's on fire. I actually had it in my notes. CeeDee Lamb is rolling right now.
Right.
And as soon as I typed it into my notes, he started dropping football. So I'll blame myself on that one. But the Miles Sanders moment, Kevin, you're driving down the field, just responding the same way you were the entire game to whatever they did. And now you're saying, hey, we're going to make a statement real quick and punch one in, and we're going to have a 27-24 lead. Had that fumble not happened, I still think that the Cowboys would have scored on that drive, been up. Now, I don't know if the rain delay after that point then changes things there, but our defense came out from that rain delay with a different type of focus, and I really appreciated the way that they played. I thought there were a lot of positives, a lot of really good things that happened last night, but you lost. And you lost in a game against a division opponent. You're now 0-1 on the season, and you had some other bad things that happened throughout the night as well.
It's really weird when the person who makes the play to set you up for success is the person who, in part, takes that success away. Like Miles Sanders breaks off that really awesome run, though, run a little bit faster.
Mm-hmm.
And then he fumbles after, you know what, I know RJ is going to destroy me for this, but make the catch, Jake Ferguson.
Okay.
Because here, look, I know people are going to say
he got murdered twice last night.
I hear that. But, like, before that, he was already dropping that football.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's frustrating to me because that's a ball that you need to catch before the murder, death, kill. And I thought that that could have been a touchdown. And it just really sucks because you're like, dang it. I know we got the penalty. That could have been a touchdown. Miles Sanders' breakaway could have been a touchdown. And then on the very next play, you get a fumble and you're like, son of a gun. I do have to admit, though, I thought the game might have been over right there. Like,
mm-hmm.
I really did just because I was like, you've been playing with fire all night, but you've been staying close. You got to take opportunity. You got to score a touchdown. And when they lost that ball, I thought they were done, and they were not. Like, I know they lost, but they were not done in that moment.
Yeah,
then, of course, CeeDee Lamb.
I want to flip it around to the – yeah, see, listen, and somebody just texted in and said, so you're blaming the free agent running back. Yeah, yes, I'm blaming the team for the failure of their loss last night. Everybody involved, and I brought up CeeDee Lamb as well. I'm probably not going to look at the fan text for the rest of the day because they're only going to hear what they want to hear.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm kind of settling in on that, going, hey, I know you're emotional today. It was a loss. It was a Cowboys game. It was the first one of the season. They lost to the Eagles. You're all ramped up about that. But you got to hear the full story whenever we're having the conversation, all right? The moment that I really liked the most, and I don't know, Kevin, if you have this, like, lined in for a very specific topic. I didn't see it. Was Dak's energy.
Ooh, okay, tell me more about that.
From the moment that Jalen Carter was ejected from the game, and even right before that, when I saw, we can discuss the spitting incident and whatnot. Again, I'll say,
man, that was crazy.
Yeah. I'll say this: you spit in my direction, I'm offended-ish. All right, like okay. That's about it. You spit in my direction, I'm like, dude, why'd you do that? If you spit on me, we're throwing hands. Like, right. That's just disgusting. You don't do that. That's what I teach my kids. We don't spit on people. All right.
Although,
Suarez biting people, and
yes,
you don't do that.
Good for Dak for not throwing hands and just looking right at the official, and the official being like, "You're gone."
Yeah, but like Dak's energy. Go back and watch his face in that moment. He's smiling. He's like, I'll step straight up to you right now. He did not want to back down against any of those guys. And, Kevin, I think it's because Schottenheimer gave this team permission to be football players. And that was something I saw. They had a different edge about them last night that I haven't seen the last 2 years, honestly. Since that Green Bay playoff game, I haven't seen that kind of edge from this team where they were cocky, confident, we're coming at you, we're taking it right to you, and we don't care. We're gonna fight through this entire game. We might not be as talented as you in certain areas, but we're going to take it right to you all night. And I think that's Brian Schottenheimer and his staff that gave them that the permission to be that again, because it didn't feel like McCarthy had that in them last year. And so I really did like seeing that, and I hope that carries over. Not that it was just a, hey, we're taking this in one game. It's the Eagles. It's a big game. We had to come out with that energy. No, you keep that kind of energy for the rest of the season, and you're going to turn out on the better side of this thing.
Yeah, there are so many things that happened in the second half that kind of changed my perception of this game. Like, I hope that makes sense. For example, I thought, man, I really thought, and that's probably just because of the people that I follow, that I thought the Philadelphia Eagles defense was getting off without much criticism in the first half. Like, where people were like, what's happening with the Cowboys run defense? I hear all of that. But Philly's defense was getting run through in the first half in terms of effectiveness for the Cowboys offense. So I love their effectiveness in the first half. And in the second half, you're like, man, we struggle to get much of anything going. And then conversely, in the first half, I was like, oh, this defense looks like it's going to suck again. And this run defense looks like it's got nothing. But then you go to the second half, and you still have obviously two glaring issues with the run defense: sealing off the edge and being able to handle running quarterbacks. But when it comes to like getting gashed up the middle, especially in the second half, I thought they looked tremendously improved, although I certainly understand how you can juxtapose that with the first half, and you're like, yeah, but don't forget the first half. They didn't look so good.
Yeah, no, you got to play a complete game.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you do have to finish strong, too.
Absolutely.
And somebody just said, all that and a loss is a loss, you clown. Did I not say you lost the damn game?
Why are you yelling at me? I didn't say that.
You're 0-1 against the division. You're 0-1 against an opponent in your conference. You're 0-1 on the season. I said that already. Listen better, all right? This is not going to be a good day for y'all if you're not going to listen better out there, all right? Y'all are getting too emotional about this. But yeah,
are you talking? I was listening.
No, I wasn't talking to you. Oh. I was talking to this other clown. But this is a. I think the defense. I liked what I saw from Solomon Thomas. We've heard that he's a leader in the locker room. I like what I saw from Fowler last night. We heard that he's a leader in the locker room. I would have liked to have seen more looks for George Pickens last night.
That was surprising.
He caught 3 of 4 last night on 3 of 4 targets. I liked what I saw from him. I know that we had the boneheaded penalty moment. But as Barstool Sports had tweeted out, I think he's allowed 1 of those per game by the NFL. I think that should be a rule. Is that Pickens
doesn't get penalized?
He gets one moment where they go, that's a penalty, and they say, but it's Pickens, so we're taking it back. I'm perfectly okay with that, obviously, because it's for the Cowboys. Booker had a couple moments of being a rookie. Did you hear Tyler Guyton's name last night?
Yeah, the most you heard about Tyler Guyton, I feel like, was when Jerry was talking with him in the tunnel after the game, which is not a bad thing whatsoever.
That's what you want.
Can I throw in Terrence Steele?
Yeah.
In that group as well? And look,
they came to play. That offensive line, Kevin, they have a new offensive coordinator, new offensive line coach. That group came to play last night.
Yeah, and look, I know that the counter argument is going to be, well, the Eagles were without Jalen Carter. And you're right, but I did feel like the offensive line for the most part, though not all of the way, took a good advantage of the Eagles missing one of their quality players. But that's why I go back to, I still have a level of frustration this morning because the game was there for the taking. And
yes.
From the 206, or maybe 208.
I'm glad you're looking at it, because I'm done looking at that clown.
I will do what I can. Even though we lost, I thought it was a win for us. So I'm not going to go that far. I'm going to say I understand the moral victory parts of it, but I would have felt different if it was 24 to – if it was like the same final score, but you scored a touchdown late in the fourth and you had kept it close most of the way and you didn't get blown off the field. You definitely didn't get blown off the field, but you could have won the game.
The word victory doesn't involve itself here, Kevin.
Yeah.
Don't even – you know what? Don't even say moral – I don't even see the – come out of your mouth today, all right?
Okay.
There's no moral victory.
What if we do the moral compass?
This moral compass, if that's the case, then that's – it's – yeah, don't
By the way, props to Tyler Guyton. If we're also doing a shout-out Friday for doing what looked like a left hook and not getting penalized for it.
Yeah,
good
like
for
that.
Him for getting away with that. Or maybe you're just like, that's an offensive line punch, penalty.
He's supposed to be offensive. I don't want to use the word moral victory, but I think there are positives to take away. And you know, Schottenheimer's going to definitely – push those positives. He's going to be pushing P about what these guys have done, because they didn't look like a sloppy team.
Yeah.
And that's an important thing about what they accomplished last night, was they didn't look sloppy. And if they keep that kind of energy up, that's going to turn into a positive thing for this team. Now, the other side is Schottenheimer's also going to be able to go back. I don't think that he's thinking to himself, man, I got to worry about CeeDee Lamb. I really don't think that he's that concerned about CeeDee Lamb right now. But he's going into the film room and he's going, I have so many things that I can say we can be better at. And that's the way. That's what I was asking Casillas yesterday. Hey, whenever things are going good, do you want the coach to be like, oh, man, things are just great, let's just keep it up, boys? Or do you want him to be like, hey, let's get you laser focused again. Let's get you back. How are you going to be better next week? And that's what I think Schottenheimer is going to focus on this week now, is how do we get better for next week, because we got another opponent coming up on us quick.
Alec, I think you're on the same page with us, but are you thinking moral victory this morning, or are you like, I like the way we play. Sorry, Corey. I like the way we played, but you still should have won the game.
I almost want to keep saying moral victory because I know can't do anything about it since he's not in the building. But
he's getting pretty heated about the fan text. You might not want
to.
I'm a little too scared, but no, I'm right there with y'all. There was a lot of great things to take away from that game. It's still a loss, and like Corey said, you're still 0-1 in the division, but I feel a lot better about this team than I did going into the game. So, you know, I'm going to give credit to Mickey when he said yesterday, I think this is going to be a closer game than we expect. I think they're going to look a little bit better than we expect. That offense was fun to watch. I actually enjoyed watching that offense. So,
in the first half or for the whole game?
Mainly the first half, but okay. I did at least, like, the concepts that I saw in the second half, like, at least gave
the
me
execution.
A little bit of, yeah, like, it gave me a little bit of motivation going forward that, hey, this team has an identity. They know what they want to do, and like we joked about yesterday, it's cool when your team actually has a plan for a division opponent that they're going to execute against this team, and then they're going to change it up next week because they're playing a different team. So I have that idea that, you know, they're actually going to change things up and give different looks week in and week out.
By the way, Mikey B texted me yesterday, 27-20 Eagles. He was 3 points off. I mean, for everything Mike is – he did tell me, if you want to bet again, Corey, I'm your guy. And I was like, no, I'll never do that again.
By the way, just as an aside, if you miss Mike tomorrow earlier in the day, he will be at the Dallas Card Show, he told me.
Nice.
So, all right, we're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, I am going to not subject Corey to this. I will read some fan text with your complete and total overreactions from the Cowboys season opener. 877-881-1053. I've already made all kinds of absurd season-long decisions based off of one game. Join me, will you? We'll do it next, live from Uncle Julio's in Fort Worth, off of Bowie, right here on The Fan.
This is the ball game, 4th and 3. Snap is back. They blitz, and he throws deep left. He's got Lamb down the left side, and he can't hold it. Diving out at the 25, and he just couldn't put it right on him, and Lamb diving couldn't hold it.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live from Uncle Julio's in Fort Worth. 5301 Camp Bowie. As you can tell, I told you they're open. I don't care what your navigator says. You can hear that there's clearly people here. Now
they've already brought me shots too. So
did you? You took that shot after reading the fan text.
I will sip today.
Oh, okay.
Kevin.
All right.
Thank you though.
I got you. I got you.
Boy.
Now we
the
can
guy
talk.
Is drunk.
Okay.
Oh. Thank you, Kevin Harlan.
Kevin Harlan knows. All right. So 877-881-1053. Frankel and Frankel injury attorney text line if you want to get involved in the conversation. We could talk about that CeeDee Lamb. I'm not going to call that a drop. The other ones I thought were pretty egregious.
The crossing route.
That was egregious.
The first play in the fourth quarter bounced off his hands or his face mask.
Yes.
And then the next crossing route that he had, where it was weird because Jalen Tolbert was running into him on the route for some reason. And I'm kind of with Wolchuk at this point. If Jalen Tolbert's on the field, be careful,
yeah.
Because I don't know what he's doing positively on the field. But that other one,
not blocking.
CeeDee, like, there's no excuse. You have to catch that. CeeDee knows that. He absolutely does. And that's when he also probably went, just like I would to you, Kevin, come back to me.
Right.
Come back to me. And Dak said, okay, I got you, big dog.
I would too.
And went right back to him. And look, man, Dak threw some beautiful passes last night. And that one right there was only my receiver can catch this football. CeeDee Lamb laid out for it, didn't get it. But that one's tough. The one before that, though, inexcusable. You have to catch that, he knows.
No, I agree with that. I also, at some point, want to have maybe a Cowboys offensive philosophical discussion about on third or fourth down, you don't always have to make a deep shot at it, get the first down first, and then take your deep shot at it.
What do you think about first half clock management at the end whenever he was like, you know what, we're not just going to kneel it out and go home here. We're going to – or take kneel it out and take a 70-yarder. We're going to go ahead and try and get one more play, because I thought it was awesome that Schottenheimer trusted his quarterback to make the right play there.
Okay. So that leads perfectly into the next segment, your complete and total overreactions from the Cowboys season opener. Because you know what? Again, it's the tale of the first half and tale of the second half. In the first half, I thought the way they navigated to get that field goal at the end of the first half was tremendous. The way they navigated the clock at the end of the second half, I hated it, hated it, hated it. And I want to tell you specifically why. And I get it. People are going to say it didn't matter because you couldn't stop Jalen Hurts either way. But I'll tell you this. Go back to the Cowboys' final drive. Go back to, I realized, before CeeDee couldn't lay all the way out and make that catch, or maybe you just thought he should have made that catch either way. The Cowboys run a play, and the clock keeps running. The play ends, I believe, and the ball is reset at 2 minutes, and I think it's 23 seconds. Go back and look at the clock right there. The way they ran it down to the two-minute warning, I hate, hate, hate. If you want to argue it's because they knew they were going to convert and run out the clock, I think you could have done that anyway without running it down to the two-minute warning. But instead, what they did was they faked like they were going to run a play and let it run down to the two-minute warning. I hate that for so many different reasons. Because A, you could have run another play, and if you didn't convert after Philadelphia's first play, it would have gone down to the two-minute warning. And then if you could have stopped them two after that, you would have had about a minute 40 left with the ball and another timeout. Or if you would have decided to punt, the exact same logic would play out and you would just have better field position. So I go back to that, and I know it didn't matter in the grand scheme of things, but while I loved the clock management at the end of the first half, I hated the clock management at the end of the second half. And I think that could have been to your benefit. But then again, make a stop on third down.
In my imaginary world where Miles Sanders doesn't fumble the ball,
sure.
The Cowboys are up 27-24. The lightning delay happens. They come back out. Both defenses ready to rock. They stopped the Eagles. They weren't functioning right on offense. They just didn't look like they knew what they wanted to accomplish there at the end of the game. And so in my imaginary world, CeeDee Lamb never has to make those catches because you're
okay.
Up. And that's why I'm like, hey, if that doesn't happen, you're not having – Kevin, Look, they passed on every single play on that last drive with 3 minutes left.
Right.
You did not have to pass on every single play with 3 minutes left. Yes, you needed time when you got closer to the end zone, but if you manage your time correctly, they can still run the ball. They can still be effective in that manner. Now, they said, you know what, Dak Prescott's our $60 million man. Put the ball in his hands. Let him win this game. And unfortunately, that did not happen. But I thought Javonte Williams gave them reason last night to say he earned our trust to get the ball and give us some plays. If it's 2 or 4 yards, we're still moving the clock down and we're still working our way to a win.
So I'm really interested to see some of these overreactions or reality, and I'll tell you a little bit more why in just a second. Let's see. From the 214, complete overreaction. Here you go. We will have a top three offense, and the defense is going to play way better than most of us expected. We win 12 games and win the division. Holy moly!
I think that's a great overreaction.
Okay, and see, so I have to change some of mine.
And I don't disagree that if they play at that kind of game again and they clean up the mistakes, they can be a 12 and 5 team.
You played an excellent look. If we were to play the Giants, no moral victory. It would burn this thing to the ground this morning, but you played a really good team on the road. So I've had to change some of my overreactions as the game went along. All right,
okay.
Corey, I will give you my initial overreactions and then how I had to change them. So the Cowboys were rotating groups of 4 defensive linemen, right? Like they were rotating them out in chunks. So you had Fowler, Osa, Kenny Clark, Sam Williams, and then you would have Neyland, Toya, Solomon Thomas, and Ezeraku. So my overreaction was, that's not going to work. They need at least 4 more defensive linemen because you were getting gashed on the run throughout the first half. But then you see how it played out in the second half, and I'm like, ooh, maybe that was a one game overreaction, one half overreaction. Mm-hmm. And so I might have had to already back off of that. Another overreaction I had, Mozzie Smith should have been cut. Like, if you're not even going to...
CD should be cut, honestly.
Okay. No, I'm not going to say that.
What's he even doing?
That salary cap hit is too tough for me to take. But Mozzie Smith, he wasn't even on the active roster, which I know just kind of goes back to the idea of, like, why did he make this team to begin?
You got to earn your spot on the
which I do like.
And I'm glad the Cowboys approached it that way and said, you know what? If you didn't show us, then you're not going to be on the field. You didn't. There's no reason to have an empty person on the field for that. Kevin, Alec, will you do me a favor? There's a very definitive drop that Kevin has about Micah Parsons and another defensive end.
There was one play. I was like, hell yeah!
There was a moment last night where I think we all believed that this was the overreaction that we all needed, if it's available to us in the near future. It's not right now, though. So we'll wait.
Needs Micah. We have James Houston.
Okay. So yeah, there was a moment I texted that to you guys last night. Alec, thank you very much. That's awesome, and that's why Alec is the best at what he does, ladies and gentlemen. The
because he didn't know you were going to ask
he did
for
not. That moment right there, though, was I was like, hey, you know what? I feel pretty good, and we can have the Micah Parsons conversation. Sam Williams said stop. He's like, well, don't even ask any more questions about this. He's gone.
Does he not know how the media works?
He does. He does, and that's why he's like, stop. Let's just move on. He's letting everybody know, I'm not answering questions about this.
Yeah.
Jerry would say, I'm not answering questions about this, but let me give you some thoughts on Micah. You know, like, that's how Jerry's going to approach it. But Sam Williams is like, I'm done with this. Now, James Houston had a couple good moments. I thought Ezeraku had a couple good moments too. He had a couple of rookie moments.
Yeah.
That I was like, okay, you came down too far inside. Jalen Hurts scores a touchdown. You got to be better at sealing off the edge there. Sam Williams had a moment last night, Kevin. He had a couple of them that he came down too hard on the inside. Then he had to hustle his butt to go get back.
Yeah.
And he walked a very thin line a couple of different times of almost hitting Jalen Hurts too late. Very thin line, and he got very fortunate with that. But I loved watching Sam Williams. I hope the boneheaded mistakes are gone from him, and that you can watch the athleticism take place.
How nervous did you get when Jalen Hurts ran into that audio guy, and you thought that Sam Williams was going to be penalized?
That was it.
Because he had his.
That was the moment right there where I was like, "Oh crap, dude!" Like, because again, go back and watch that play. He goes down inside.
Yeah.
He's almost past the center. Turns around and realizes S. coach said I need to seal off the edge, and I'm not there. He ran as hard as he could to get back to Jalen Hurts to make a play there. Now, does he get the yardage if Sam Williams did his job correctly? No. Or yes. No, he doesn't get that yardage.
Right.
But Sam Williams did the hustle that I thought was necessary after the mistake.
Alec, I had another mid-in-game, I guess, overreaction, and it was that the Dallas Cowboys will never, ever put a spy on a running quarterback. Because after Jalen Hurts scored on the first drive, and then we're marching down on the next drive, and I was like, what are we doing? And then he scored again, and you're just like, oh, for the and love then, of God.
I'm sorry, they Alex, scored they again. Did in the second half. Dante Fowler had a specific play that really stood out in that. Was that. Did you mention that one?
No.
Yeah, Dante Fowler was on the right side. He's spying, and that was something that that Eberflus was like, all right, I guess I need to adjust to this. He's spying. He rolls around with him, and Jalen Hurts thought he had a free lane to take off running, and Fowler was with him behind the defensive line on that approach.
You know, I'm fascinated how many people have changed their like win total up because of this game. From the 8-1-7, I went into the season thinking that the Cowboys would only win five games. My overreaction after last night, this team could win 10 games at least. Man, I saw somebody mention the penalties. That's another one of my complete overreactions to the first game. We are not going to be a penalty-laden embarrassment
We're
in
not
the NFL
sloppy.
This year.
That's what I agree. Like, they didn't look sloppy. And we're just like, that's a dumb mistake.
Yeah.
And that I don't know who to credit that to, because Bill Parcells says I don't coach penalties.
Right.
And so I'm trying to figure out who coached them to be better at that last night. So, yeah, man, the penalties in a season opener on a Thursday night against Philadelphia, that you expect the Cowboys to have three false starts before they snap the ball. You expect somebody to line up incorrectly. You expect a lot of different things, like, you know, offsides, encroachment, and they didn't have those penalties. Now, they had, what, four penalties for 42 yards, but it turns out it worked out for them. Kevin, can I say that I think Marshawn Nealon is going to be a stud in the NFL?
Oh, hey, it is overreaction to reality.
And I also think that I really appreciated Kenneth Murray being a linebacker in this defense.
Kenneth Murray was in on a couple of different plays that I thought were impressive. Now, unfortunately, at least one of those plays was he had to clean up somebody else's mess.
Yep.
Because once again, you could not seal off anything on the edge. And we talked about that in the first segment. But yeah, I there were a couple of times that I thought that I definitely noticed Kenneth Murray.
Yeah, and A, he's a bigger, more physical linebacker than we've had around here. And he flies to the ball. I thought the defense their plan changed late in the game, and they said, we know they're going to try to run the ball. We're going to line up nine in the box and try and see if they can get past that. But that was effective for them last night.
From the 8-1-7, overreaction, Cowboys will win 10 games, get into the playoffs, and then S the bet against Green
that's
Bay.
Well, you know what?
I feel like I've seen almost that exact
compared
thing.
To the preseason, compared to the
yeah,
preseason, nobody – Kevin, we were walking into this thing thinking 7 wins.
Yeah.
And right now I think a lot of people are changing their mind to 10 just because they looked a little bit better than we expected last night.
Yeah. And overreaction, here's both a good one and a bad one. From the 972, Javonte Williams and Miles Sanders are going to rush for 2,000 yards combined. Overreaction, ? All right, I love that. I won't say I agree with the positive overreaction, but I definitely don't agree with this negative overreaction. The Cowboys were only in that game due to penalties. Outside of penalties, the Eagles would have blown them out. I don't know what game you were watching. That was not indicative of the game that I was watching whatsoever.
One of the biggest penalty was the ejection of Jalen Carter.
Man.
The penalty on the deep ball to George Pickens was warranted.
Yeah.
Like there were warranted plays there. So if you're going to say now there were a couple of lucky ones. I will give
sure.
them that. But if you're going to say that the ones that were warranted are that's part of the game.
Yeah.
Kevin, now that George Pickens is here, this is one thing that I wish we had a stat for. Yards picked up on pass interference. Because George Pickens might get us this year, he might get us 400 yards in pass interference calls, but not get the catch.
Right.
You know, because
be wary of that with your underdog plays.
He's a deep threat. And that move, that flips the field. And that's something that Tom Brady was an expert at. I've talked about this for a long time. The ability to have a deep threat that somebody has to guard, and then, you know what, now I have to tackle him in the air before he even gets the ball because he already beat me. That's an effective play right there.
Man, not an overreaction. Zach Bond can beat Miles Sanders in a foot race. Fact.
Miles,
Probably, if it looked like.
If that had been Jaden Blue, do you think it would have been a touchdown?
I would have been Alec. Shocked. Yep. I would have been shocked if that happened. This is a big picture overreaction, I think. Shoddy will win us a Super Bowl. I mean, obviously, that's what all Cowboys fans have been waiting and dying for a generation.
It would mean...
More than a generation.
I think, Kevin, of all the coaches we've had since Jimmy, maybe Parcells, it would mean more to me to see him win one.
Oh, interesting.
I like the man that he is. The connection he still has with his father and the conversation. Right. And I just like the guy.
I got one more. My complete overreaction was that I needed multiple minutes to pause the game after Jalen Carter got ejected, because when they said the penalty was on him, I was like, oh, does that count as one of the two needed to boot him out? And then he goes, is disqualified from the game. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
And my son, Noah, he goes, what? Because sometimes that's what we do with the little nephews, and he thought I was doing a bit. But in actuality, I was shocked at that moment.
As soon as he did it, I was like, he has to go. And the whole LeVon bearded monkey, they were like,
get him out of here.
And Kevin, now I ask you that question. Is that enough for him? One full game there, or do you think he deserves another? Because I think Bill Romanowski was ejected for that. I do know Steven told Jerry Jones that he leaned over and asked him, and he was like, hey, you know, they're focusing a lot more on sportsmanship this year. So that
we saw a penalty like that too. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we continue to be live from Uncle Julio's in Fort Worth. We will do some baseball nuggets to get you ready for the biggest series of the season so far. Next right here on The Fan.
0-2. Line drive, center field, Langford coming on. Slides, he makes the catch! What a play by Wyatt Langford. It required a perfect jump. He executed. And it's a 1-2-3 inning for Merrill Kelly.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. And right now we bring on a friend of ours, Daniel Esteve. How are you this morning?
I'm glad I've upgraded to friend status.
Yeah, I mean, look, you came on our show, so we went on your show. So now you're on our show once again. That counts, right?
I feel like it's an exchange relationship.
Yeah, three dates is a relationship.
You guys actually get to make your debut tonight on
CW33. Oh, here we go.
6 o'clock, the KNC Masterpiece takes over the television with.
See, did you hear that? And if we're friends, that means we should be able to say
yes,
right?
Of course.
Okay.
Of course. As all great friends do.
All right. So we're going to get into some baseball in just a second. But I just want to read these two texts because they came in within 30 seconds of one another. And we need to pick a lane. Are we too positive or too negative? From the 806, y'all are just insane. This is a 6-win team. Defense remains atrocious. CD Lamb is soft. So in that one, we're too positive.
All right.
Okay?
Pushing P.
From the 512, yeah, Corey, all y'all do is spit negativity. Did you see Dak's performance? Did you see us be able to run the football? So we can't be too positive and too negative at the same time.
You absolutely can.
Oh, okay.
Kevin, I had a Tolo that came through here, and he said, hey, Corey, don't pay attention to the fan text today.
Yeah.
He said, you got hundreds of thousands of Tolos out there that got your back. And I was like, you know what? That's all that matters.
That's nice.
So I got Steve, I got a shot over here to just kind of simmer everything down, really take care of, you know, get the emotions down, because that's what alcohol does.
Hey, listen, I'm new to the market, but I'm not new to Cowboys Nation. I feel like this is right on par, right?
Yeah, that's something of this season in particular.
Yeah.
That is a fair point. Right now, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. Give it free AC repair and replacement. It's time for baseball nuggets. Now, there are a lot of things that I want to get to in baseball nuggets, so I'm just going to go ahead and quick hit one of these, and then I feel like we probably need to turn most, if not all, of our attention to the Rangers and the Astros.
Okay.
Does that feel like a fair way to say it?
It is a significant series.
This is, would we all agree, biggest series of the season so far. And the reason why I say so far is you might loop back around to the Astros in like a week or so and be like, okay, now this is the new biggest series, right?
It's funny, though, because we were talking about this 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
It was the biggest series 2 weeks ago. Biggest road trip, right?
Absolutely.
And then that happened, and the Rangers said, we're going to still stay close enough. And I was like, dadgum, they just keep staying there. So, yeah, they never, ever quit.
Okay, I see what you're doing. I like that. But, yeah, quick mention, Kendall George, he's a prospect for the Dodgers. In his past five games, he's stolen 15 bases. And
in five games?
Yes. He has
a That's like three a game.
Yes, very good. He has 100 steals this season. Actually, it's up to 101. In his 111th game, he got up to 100 steals. Only three players have stolen 100 bases faster, including former Ranger Delino DeShields Jr. I just wanted to mention that. He's at high A. It's going to be a minute till you see him, but that is freaking incredible.
That is unreal, and I was actually just looking at the stat that Sebastian Walcott eclipsed, the 30 steals, 10 home runs, and I was like, that's awesome, but this is unbelievable.
And somebody this morning has already said what they're looking for forward to the most is seeing Sebastian Walcott on the Texas Rangers. I know we still have to be a little bit patient to make that happen, but you're going to see it at some point, and I think it's going to be fantastic. How are you feeling going into the Rangers-Astros series? By the way, G-Bag Nation going to be broadcasting live from Globe Life Field today. What's the vibe going into it? Because this Rangers team has been very difficult to predict.
It's been the same vibe that it's been for the last 2 months,
right?
Kevin, the exact same vibe.
Yeah.
When you talk about trying to pinpoint exactly how this team is going to perform, well, you've got a better luck of maybe winning that Powerball that's up over a billion at this point, because it's an absolute roller coaster. So are you going to get the team that puts all three phases together, right? The pitching, the hitting, the defense, or are you going to get that team that can't hit worth a lick?
Right.
You just absolutely don't know. But it seems like every time we've gone down on the Texas Rangers, they've surprised us. So
let's
perhaps
go mark that.
Perhaps this Houston Astros series is going to be another turning point.
Okay, are you guys excited about the return of Cole Wynn, and do you think he needs to be limited to one inning? Because I know he's been very effective, but there are some folks who believe, like, hey, use him one inning at a time and then move him back out of the game.
That's an interesting approach. I like what he's done so far, but he's only really truly been, like, supremely effective in one inning. So if that's the case, you know, then that's going to be his career. Unfortunately, he had a
could be great as a closer. I still don't want to rule that out.
Yeah, so I'm not against that. I think Boach is one of those guys though that continues to give opportunities because he's like, hey, you can try.
And then, Daniel, have you noticed the defensive improvement from Wyatt Langford this year? Because it's one of the things where you feel like you see a thing, and then you see the numbers that back it up, and you're like, okay. Now I feel justified, right? Because, like, year over year, he is 11 outs above, defensive outs forced above average. Last year it was 2. That is a massive jump for him defensively.
And it's nice that you actually get to talk about that, because I think we talk about this, and you'll see this at 6 o'clock tonight in our conversation, is, well, maybe the expectations are too high for Wyatt Langford, right? You expect all this offensive output, but when you see some success on the defensive end, that's a huge part of his game, especially when you talk about how impactful the Texas Rangers defense can be in supporting the pitching staff and in keeping them in close games when the bats aren't quite working. And Wyatt Langford, still super young, obviously, still a ton of potential to see that kind of success is super important.
You know what? That's a really good point, because I know he was phenomenal in August offensively. I have been disappointed by some of the, or I guess my interpretation of lack of offensive advancements from Wyatt Langford this year, but he has made some staggering defensive advancements and still shows some defensive versatility. So I probably shouldn't undersell that.
No,
right?
And you shouldn't. You know, we played this game a lot in my time in St. Louis with Dylan Carlson. He obviously came out the gates firing, and you saw the versatility in the outfield, and you're thinking, all right, well, this guy can play some defense. Bats will come around, can switch hit. This guy's going to be great. You just got to hold on to him. And then you end up holding on to him too long, and you're left with your hands in your pockets because you don't know what to do with this guy. Wyatt Langford is certainly a step step above, in my opinion, far above what Dylan Carlson was. But you just don't want to handcuff yourself and think, well, hey, let's just keep waiting for that potential and just rely on how great his defense is right now. But it's good to see.
Yeah. How are you feeling about the back-to-back combination of Merrill Kelly and DeGrom to start off the first two games of the
series? I love it.
Good. You better match that energy.
Anytime you get DeGrom on the mound, I think. You know, it's funny. We went out and talked to fans. I hate to keep talking about the special because you'll be able to watch
it.
No,
keep talking about it.
Yeah,
we'll keep talking
really
about it. Mainly because the KNC Masterpiece is going to make their debut.
On the couch.
But we went and talked to fans outside the stadium, and we were just talking about, hey, season MVPs, who you got, who you got. I did not hear Nathan Eovaldi once, but I did hear DeGrom quite a bit. Maybe that's just the mental bias that fans have. But anytime you see DeGrom take the mound, you're going to have that general sense of confidence, and I feel like the fans feel the same way.
So the Houston series starts tonight. After that, you pivot into the best team in the league in the Brewers. Then you have a Mets team that can be unpredictable. Then you're back around to Houston. Do you think, not only this series, but a week from Monday, when you get back and now you're at Houston, do you think we're going to be having similar conversations about, well, they're still in striking distance, they could still win the division, they could still win the wild card? Do you think in like 8, 9, 10 days we'll be in the same spot?
Do I want to give the
you
super
better give
fun
the
answer
real
for
answer.
Radio to keep our audience engaged? I mean, the reality is, again, we had this conversation 2 weeks ago, so I don't think it's a matter of thinking. I think it's a matter of hoping. And I certainly hope that the Texas Rangers are still going to be in that conversation. I hope that they're going to be in the running to make the playoffs. But mathematically, well, thought comes into mind that that's probably not the case. But boy, they've surprised us so many times, and they tend to do it against pretty good competition.
Yeah.
Will this be the turning point for them? I sure hope so, but I don't think so.
By the way, super random baseball story for you, since we're in baseball nuggets. Anthony Rizzo was talking about how somebody had found his World Series ring at the bottom of Lake Michigan. And that's really neat. But what I want to focus on is Yohei Yamada.
Of course.
That's the person who found the ring. And in a story I was reading on, I think it was MLB.com, it said Yamada is an experienced swimmer who makes a living helping those retrieve items they lost in Lake Michigan. What do you think about the concept of you make your living just finding things that people lost in the lake?
It's a bit morbid, but I almost think that that would be the coolest thing to put on like a tombstone once he finally goes. Like, I found what people lost.
Mm-hmm.
And how special that would be for people to walk by and read. What a legacy. You talk about going out on a high note, or rather a deep note. Given that he's swimming down low. Unbelievable.
And you don't have to deal with people while you're underwater, you know, so that's a good thing, too.
That's true.
Yeah, you can just be underwater in the
quiet.
That
is a good point.
Yourself.
You're like, that fish really pissed me off. Like,
he looked at me funny.
Yeah, that's probably going to be okay. Can you stick around, or you got to boogie back to the station?
For the KNC Masterpiece, I can stick around.
Look at this guy.
I love it.
This is why
I love it.
Steve.
I love it. Now, Alec, just be prepared. I'm going to try to convince him to stay all the way through your segment as well so we can keep rocking and rolling. Coming up next, we are going to talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola, right here on 105.3 The Fan.